Well, thank you. You guys hear me all right? Good. So, it's a great introduction to know why I'm teaching this just by the very words that Rachel was speaking. Because, the Word of God lives within us all when we read it and we put it in our hearts. And all anxiety and fear goes away when you realize that it's not just a whisper, it's a fire in our bones to speak. So, here we go. Please turn to John 10:11. Get that child the Bible. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Who is this speaking? This is Jesus Christ speaking. He's the good shepherd. We're going to get more into this verse, but this is basically the foundation of my teaching tonight, is about Jesus Christ and God being our shepherd. The shepherd of what? Obviously, we know he's in this verse. He's speaking to us, but God, in his word, gives us illustrations so we can understand easier and better, and we understand it as God, say, as our Father, and we're his children. There's a relationship that God uses in his word to teach us. Another one is God as our shepherd, and we as the sheep. And this is something that it's been on my heart. I've been looking at a lot into for a while. Barney helped me and gave me a wonderful book from the library over there regarding a shepherd's look at Psalm 23, and we'll get into that a little bit, but it's just interesting and wonderful to see the Word of God and how God teaches us and shows us that relationship, and it's interesting, I'll get into this, but it's interesting and wonderful how today, in the Grace Administration today, who we are, and how it's all relate. So, but as sheep, does anybody know anything about sheep here? If you know anything about sheep, and definitely read into this, guys, when I start talking about sheep, it's a good thing, because sheep are very unique livestock in that they have some of the most perverse and weird habits of any livestock ever. They're stupid, they're dumb, they follow the sheep in front of them, not even knowing what they're doing. They destroy landscapes, they eat grass to the root, and if they are left untethered, if they're left to just go do their own thing, they'll follow the same route every day, destroy the path in which they're on. They'll go to the same pasture land, eat that grass to the very bone, so it becomes a desert wasteland. If they're not managed, they're just lost. They're susceptible to diseases unlike any other livestock. They're scared. They can easily break away and anything that anything of the unknown, any fear. If they think there's a wolf in the bushes, they'll run. If they see a chihuahua come out of a door of a car, and they see that suddenly, and it's quick, they'll scatter and run. I mean, it's anything will spook them. I mean, it's amazing how vulnerable they are. They have no natural habit, no natural defenses. I always think, because I work in the environmental business and the Big Bang Theory and Darwin's Theory and all that, survival of the fittest comes up all the time. And biology and things like that, and I look at sheep, and it's like there's no way in heck they could have survived. I mean, I don't see how they could have survived, because there's no way. So, but what some people don't know with sheep is that if properly managed and properly overseen and shepherded, which is what we're going to get into, sheep are some of the most beneficial livestock to a land and to the people out of all of them. If they are properly moved from pastures, They will eat all the weeds, all the foul things in the earth. They will clean up the land and restore it. Sheep themselves, they provide milk, they provide wool, they provide warmth, they provide meat. They provide cheese, milk. I mean, they're a great benefit, and it's an interesting relationship. So we'll get into that here. Like I said, does any of this sound familiar? Please read into it, because the relationship is Jesus Christ, our shepherd. God is our shepherd, and we're the sheep, and we need and desire, and we should desire to have that relationship and accept the shepherding, accept the management, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, accept God in our life to rule and to manage and to see and to guide and to protect in every aspect of our life we desire, because as sheep, we should be smarter than sheep and recognize that, you know, what we have in our own abilities is pretty weak. It is perverse. It's not good. So, David, not the David back there, but David in the book, was a shepherd himself. He was a king. They called him the king shepherd. And he wrote a wonderful psalm, as you might guys know, or many of you know. People who are not even familiar with the word have heard this. Psalm 23. So please turn there. I'm not going to be going into a little detail about this, because this is a wonderful place in the word, which really gets into the heart and depth of the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep, and therefore as God is a shepherd to us. I'm just going to read it through, and then I'll go back and make some awesome points. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's pretty wonderful. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As we know, sheep are very willful, they're stubborn, they want to go their own ways, just as people do. We in this world have such a hard time letting go of our own lives and control of our own lives and seeking God to lead us. I mean, it is a fundamental hard thing for us, the old man, to do, is to let go and to accept someone as the shepherd of your life. But it's important. It's exactly what needs to happen. This first one, the exclamation, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is fully trusting and accepting the Lord God is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our trust. He's our manager. He is the source of all my need, and I know I shall not want. Number two, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There's a lot to this verse. "He maketh me to lie down." Sheep only will lie down if they feel completely safe and comforted, or else they're standing, they're rigid, they're timid, they're looking around, and they do not eat. They will only lie down if they feel they are comforted, and they feel and they know that they are protected and they're being watched over. This verse says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," in the pastures that will feed and nourish us. As we know, I mean, that's the fellowship, that's the settings, that's the word of God being in our hearts. It's walking with God in every way, shape, or form. He leads us to the right place. He gets us out of the mire and the muck. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." I was talking about, you know, how sheep will follow each other, and if left left untethered, left to themselves, they will continue to follow the same path and destroy that path. No, for lack of a better word, they'll poop in the path, they'll pee in the path, and they'll destroy that land. And a big concern is, we've all been thirsty, right? What happens when we're really thirsty? We just desire to have drink. We desire to be nourished. Well, sheep, on the other hand, they're 80% or 70% water. And when they are thirst, when they're thirsty and they have a lack of water, their cells will shrink. They'll start destroying themselves, and it's a natural tendency for the sheep to instantly start seeking anything for water, any source of nourishment, any source of edification, so to speak, anything. And so when they're on the path with puddles of mixed with urine, with poop, it's a bad tendency for them to see any sort of water, any sort of liquid, and start drinking that. And this can be translated into the real world today. How many people do you know are seeking something, seeking life, seeking edification, seeking forgiveness, seeking love, and they don't know where to go? Or they drink from every pool they find, only to find later that, you know, they're drinking live worms and pesticides and things that make them sick and desolate and just gross. Or they kill them, you know? How many people do you know? I know quite a few. I've been close to quite a few, you know, and it's a painful thing to see. And yet, the Word of God, I mean, this is life. And it says right here, He leadeth me beside the still waters. The focus on this verse is He leadeth you. The shepherd is the one that will take you to the still waters, to the place where the springs are, to the place where that that holy water, that life-giving water, fountain of living waters that you need to live, that you need to have in your life, to nourish your life, to build you up, to give you health and happiness, to keep you alive. Turn to Isaiah 5:13. Let me support some of what I'm saying with the word. It's the way it should be. Isaiah 5:13. And it says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." They have no knowledge. They don't know what's right. The Word of God gives that to us. He leads it to us. He leads us to it. Isaiah 41:17. Yeah, what a wonderful thing. Isaiah 41:17 says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water." Isaiah 49:10. "They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them." He has mercy and he guides us. You know, sheep being so perverse and weird, you know, how many people have you met that just frustrate you and you just don't want to deal with them? Imagine the shepherd seeing his sheep just stumble over themselves over and over again and just doing things that would hurt them. And, you know, a natural man would just, gosh, I don't want to deal with it. I can take care of myself. I'm gone. You know, why deal with this? And yet, God doesn't even think that. The shepherd calls them his own. He knows them. He wants them. He loves them, these sheep, and he takes care of them. And today, in this grace administration, not only does he do that, but he, through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, teaches us and exhorts us to rise up and be as Jesus Christ, or like Jesus Christ, into a more worthy endeavor. We'll get into that. So, next verse here. Number three, it says, He restoreth my soul, or excuse me, Psalm 23 again. It probably would be beneficial to either leave a marker there, or I'll just read it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, in the book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, this man was a shepherd in Africa and also the Western United States and British Columbia. He's been all over the place. But he knows of a certain thing that happens to sheep where it's described as a cast sheep. The sheep will lie down in a hole or in an area which, you know, is secluded. And because sheep are top heavy, they're fat on the top, they have long, skinny legs, they have a tendency to roll over. And just like some animals, when they roll over, they cannot get up. If they're on their back, they will bleat for help, or they'll just sit there and thrash around. They don't know, they cannot get themselves back on their feet. It's just the way it is. And but even the more serious part of this is that when that happens, after several hours, the sheep becomes so lost that it will give up and literally kill himself. It will just start to give up, give life. And it's called the cast sheep, and it's something that shepherds always look for. It's someone who's on their back, someone who's helpless, someone who tripped and fell and needs help getting up. He restoreth our soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is another wonderful, wonderful point I'm getting into. He leadeth in the path of righteousness. Proverbs 3:19. Please turn there. We all need to be led because, you know, Jesus Christ says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And the light, excuse me. And, you know, if we follow our own ways and do our own thing, everybody who has gone down that path knows that there's just no satisfaction. There's no, what you seek never fulfills itself. The true depth of what you really desire, that love, that forgiveness, that that joy in your life, it's always fleeting. It's always just, you think it's there and it's gone. And yet, we know if we're led by God, he will lead us down the path of righteousness, the right way. Proverbs 3:19 says, The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. That's pretty neat. So, Isaiah 53:6. Please turn there. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We all have gone our own way, and yet we know in Proverbs 3:19 and elsewhere that God's wisdom and knowledge, God's word, is the right way. He's there for us. He's going to lead us the right way if we accept it, if we let go of our own will and seek him and desire that he leadeth us down the right path, not the path that we've gone down over and over again, following the sheep in front of us, not going to that same pasture that we've just eaten to death and it's a desert, knowing that there's no grass there that's going to nourish us, but we continue to go. You know, this world offers nothing. Yet we know that God is the one that will lead us to the green pastures, the still waters. God will lead us down the path of righteousness. He'll restore our soul. He's the one that seeks our comfort and our joy, and he is our confidence in everything. Psalm 23:6 says, there you go, thank you. Or Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Thy rod and thy staff. This is very symbolic things of a shepherd. The rod is a symbol of power and strength and authority. The rod is the weapon that the shepherd would carry with him. Back in the olden days, it's more replaced with a rifle today. But even so, the rod was something that the shepherd could throw as a weapon to defend his sheep, as well as to, it was a very hard wood, and it was used as a club, but also it was a symbol of power and authority to the sheep, because it was used as a tool for discipline and also inspection. The sheep, it was a term called passing under the rod. The shepherd would go sheep by sheep. With his rod, he would stop the sheep and inspect it for diseases, inspect it for sickness, inspect it overall to see if it was healthy. You know, and you can see that picture, that it's authority. It's the sheep see that and they stop. They know. You know, have you ever met a cop, right? Or like a rent-a-cop, right? People that drive around strip malls. You know, they shine their yellow lights, but you know they cannot do anything because they have no way of dealing with anything. I mean, maybe they can use their flashlight or something, I don't know, but nevertheless, it's an interesting concept. There's no, you see them and there's little to no power authority with them. And they're trained in a way just to, if they see something, to call the police, according to my sister. So, you know, it's, the rod is the symbol of that strength and that might and that authority. The staff, on the other hand, is what we see. The staff, the crook, is the symbol of comfort to the sheep. It's the symbol, or it's used to bring the sheep closer to the shepherd. It's the crook was used when lambs were birthing to grab that lamb when it was born and give it back to the ewe, give it back to the mother. A symbol that brings and holds together that whole relationship with the sheep in general. Just, yeah, it, the whole relationship, all the peace, all the communion with, there we go, the communion with the sheep. The staff is the symbol, it's the tool used in every aspect of it. It's interesting because, you know, you ever met someone who is kind of timid to the word? Or timid to fellowship, or timid just in general to not want to be a part of it, but they do, you know, you can see that their heart's desires to know God, but, you know, never letting go of that timidity. I mean, I know because that was me. and yet the shepherd is the one who will use that crook of that staff and bring that sheep closer to him, not in a jerking way, not in a aggressive way, but it's a gesture of closeness, it's a gesture of love.